like that song selection?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's good to be back. For those of you who don't know, Sandy and I just went on a three-week trip to Hawaii. I need to tell you, I love Hawaii. 78 to 82 all day and night. It is not bad. But we were as relaxed as we can be. Glad to be back in the saddle. A little sore, but we're glad to be back. And lots of fun. I'm sure you'll ask, and we'll do our best to tell. A lot of relaxing, a lot of dreaming about the future, planning. Dave and Kenny did a great job. The commander. They are smart men, because I was wondering if they were going to clap for themselves, because I would have called them out. But they really did. And I told them both. I'm assuming you think they did. But I told them both what I love the most. And there was a number of things that I enjoyed about what they did, because we watched. It was 6 o'clock the first week, and then time changed. It was 7 the next week, so it was early in the morning. And the minute they were done, we went. We actually went to other churches. That's another story. Tell me when you want it. But they were so normal. You know, and sometimes you hear church and people get a different tone. They're not themselves. And I asked them, I said, just be you. And obviously, the commander has a problem with brightness. Facts evade him. I so enjoyed watching the place I love and that I have the privilege of investing in. And these two guys standing up for Jesus and proclaiming him. It was just great. It was fun for me. So last night I was tempted to call. I didn't because I'm a nice man. But I was going to call them and act like I had a sore throat. They wouldn't have answered my call. If they saw Jim Makinga, they wouldn't have answered. I know them, so I didn't give them the pleasure of ignoring me. But I do have one other remark that's going to shock somebody in the room, actually a few people. But there's another guy in this room that I want to speak one day. And he's a pretty good singer. And he's always up here with this little piano going like this, like he's cool, you know? But you guys do not know how bright Mark Sullivan is. And he's so humble, he won't tell you. But I am not that humble. And I know this man loves Jesus. And he's sitting back there. I just messed his whole year up because he doesn't know when I'm going to ask him. He's thinking, he did not ask me permission. Sandra, you're a lawyer. Can you do this? She goes, I'm retired, baby. Nothing I could do. But one day I want this good, godly man that sings before us and leads worship to share a piece of truth with you. So have a great weekend, Mark. So, oh my. Oh, I can't believe I just did that. It's not in my notes. It's not in my notes. So tonight, Thanksgiving communion. He's not even looking at me. His head is down. No eye contact. He can't believe I said that in front of everybody. His wife is howling. Okay. Thanksgiving communion tonight. Mark's going to be the featured speaker. I got to stop this. I got to stop. Should I get serious? he started to walk away, Doc. So 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have a good time. Got a surprise video for you that I think will sort of have some deep impact. At least it did for me. Guatemala trip scheduled. A couple of people had to drop out. We've got 18 confirmed at this point, so there's 2 more tickets, 2 more spots if you have the courage to go with us and the time and the ability to go. Depending on what we raise, and we'll start that in the next few weeks, for the trip, we'll either build a house for a family that's never had a house, or we'll build a church in a village. So we'll see how that all works out in time. So today's theme, stay joined to me. This would be Jesus' request to you and to me, very directly, and you'll see it today as we work through our passage. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, we go together. And hopefully this message is clear and simple and you get it. You don't fight it. You just accept it. A young boy, speaking of going together, was sent to the corner store by his mother to buy a loaf of bread. He was gone much longer than it should have taken him. When he finally returned, the mother asked, "Where have you been?" As a good mom would. "I've been worried sick about you. You're gone way too long." "Well," he answered, "there was a little boy with a broken bike who was crying, so I stopped to help him." And his mother looked at him and says, I didn't know you knew anything about fixing bikes." She was shocked. He said, "I don't. I just stayed there and I cried with him." I cried with him. You know, sometimes the help, the love, the connection that we can have, it's not about doing something. It's not about fixing somebody. Because if you think you can fix somebody, why don't you start with you and go to work? But, you know, what people want is our love and our interest and our connection to them more than anything. Let's pray as we start. Father, thank you for all these boxes for little kids around the world. May you use them in a beautiful way. Thank you for the people in this church, the friends in this church, with me, with one another. I pray you would use us in this community, our South Bay, to touch the lives of other people through our love, through our willingness to listen to you, to follow you, to get the Jesus message in our life. I pray you'd touch us today. Teach us through this beautiful chapter in the Bible, your words, Jesus, to us. May we embrace them. We want to welcome you into this room. Thank you for time away, but thank you even more that we can come back, that I can be with these people. Thank you for that. And bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Yes, we're in a series entitled The Commands of Jesus, and it's birthed out of Matthew 28:19, and where he tells us to go, his guys and us through his guys, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, and teach them all that I've commanded you. In order to teach something, you yourself have to know it. So we've been working our way one by one through the commands of Jesus as best we can understand. And we're defining in this series the commands of Jesus. And today's the 38th command. And we have two more left. And so 2017 have all been about the commands of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed it. It's impacted my life. I don't know, I asked you the question early on when we started in January, what are the commands of Jesus? Why don't you go home and write them down? And it wouldn't have been that easy to do. You would have had a couple of highlights, but not all the stuff he said, and we've tried to pull that out, certainly. Today is about what Jesus asks of us, what he commands, what we need, and what he's offering to us, to each and every one of us. Never forget that Jesus asks you and asks me to abide in him, to be connected to him, to be joined to him. And we're going to try to highlight that point, certainly. The bottom line for us, again, is we go together. He doesn't need us like we need him. He just wants us. And to think of the thought that the God of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, wants me, and he wants you. That's kind of a mind blower. You ready to go? Oh, yeah, I got three people. I am excited. John 15, and Patty, I know you're with me. John 15, I'm sure, Patty, you're sitting there praying for Mark right now. A great chapter from Jesus. Here we go. First off, number one, Jesus explains his and the Father's role. Now, he's going to explain our role here as we move through John 15, and it's a beautiful explanation. But before he does that, he tells us what his role is and the Father's role. And it's very understandable. Look at it. Remember, this is hours before his death. The Last Supper is over. This is just a little bit before he's about to die. John 15, 1, he says, "I am." And Jesus here is speaking of himself. I am. This is the last of the seven I am statements that he made, which are beautiful and powerful in John's gospel. He said, "I am the true." And the idea of true is genuine, real, perfect, genuine as opposed to counterfeit. He says, "I am the true vine." And this is significant, especially to the Jewish mind, because they understood this. The Old Testament refers to Israel as God's vine. They were the givers, are supposed to be the givers of God's love. and acceptance, and to show people, Gentiles, how they could know God, how they could follow him. And they failed in that, but so be it. Israel was the conduit of God's promises that flowed out to the world, just as we are today in a different way. But they were defined as the vine. He says, so I am the true vine. Sort of setting Israel aside, they thought they were pretty special. You remember the religious leaders from years ago. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So he gives them terms. And I don't know how many of you have a gardener. I know I have one. The church has one. But here, when he says, my Father is the gardener, it's the idea of he's the vine dresser. He's the farmer. He's the vine grower. He's the owner of the field and everything that's in it. A gardener or vine dresser has two main responsibilities. The first, and we'll see some of this today, is to remove branches that did not bear fruit, to clean things up, to have it be productive. The vine grove, his job was to remove branches. Number two was to prune the branches that did bear fruit, as we'll see in a few verses. And pruning was not always kind. It's a little harsh. It's a little uncomfortable. It looks like you're taking away, but when you take away, it's order to produce a bigger and better crop, as we'll see. So Jesus is the vine. The Father is the gardener or the vine dresser. That's what Jesus tells us. It's simple and it's understandable. I think everybody here can get it. A third grader could get this. Number two, change is needed, Jesus tells us, if we have no fruit. Now, before we jump into fruit, because this chapter is really all about that, bottom line, apart from abiding. But what is meant by fruit here? What does he mean when he talks about fruit from now on or regularly in the scriptures? It's about changed lives. It's about character development in you and me, God's kind of character. It's about the fruit of the Spirit being present in our life, not just known in our brain what the words are, but it actually gets lived out before other people. They experience that from us, not perfectly, but at higher levels than those that aren't attached to the things of God are concerned about the words of Jesus. It's about being spiritually productive in your life, touching the lives of other people, building your life in such a way that it naturally has influence, not forced influence, but it just has it. It's lives being added to the kingdom. That's part of what fruit is, that somebody moves from not believing to believing because of you. Your invitation, your example before their life, your prayers for them. It's about your habits being changed, that inappropriate behavior moves more away from you as you get closer to Jesus. It's not about trying to control your life. It's a natural progression for the man or the woman who loves Jesus. And it's about real love being advanced, that you... As your life is connected to Jesus, you take love and you love your enemies, as hard as that is to do. That you forgive people more quickly than others that could care less about what Jesus says about forgiveness. We never do it to perfection. But in the context of your family, that takes place. It's a beautiful picture. Two kinds of branches he talks about here in terms of bearing fruit. John 15, 2. Branch 1, he... Who's he? The gardener, the vine dresser, the Father. He cuts off, and the idea of cuts off is removes, detaches every branch. And the idea of talking about every branch is each one of them. This is an individual thing. This is not a corporate thing, although it ends up impacting us corporately. God the Father, if you choose to move your life against him, may cut you off because of your actions. He cuts off every branch in me. And the idea here is those who think they're in Christ. Now, most of you in this room think, you know, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. And you're going to be asked the question today, not by me, but by Jesus, are you really? And don't fear that. Welcome it. Because if you aren't, you want to be. Not just because of my words, but because of the test of history. Why would you want to go alone? You're better together. Hopefully you hear that today clearly over and over again. This is the idea of those who think they're attached, but they're really in truth false believers. It's not in their heart. It's not in their brain. For one reason or another, the culture has a grip, folks, and the culture has this grip that wants to grab onto you and make you believe the Bible is silly, that the Jesus message isn't real, and it's got a million different ways to grab onto you. And I say, you learn some jujitsu or some Muay Thai to knock that grip down. Just knock that sucker down. And you say, get away from me, grip of this world. Not me, not today. Not me. I'm a Jesus guy. He goes, he cuts off every branch, each and every one, in me that bears no fruit. So fruit obviously really matters. Why remove them? Why? Well, they're detrimental to the health of the vine. They suck life out of the vine and the grapes or the fruit or whatever they're connected to. Fruitlessness was a sign of not being a genuine believer or follower. That's the message here. Fruit is necessary in your life. That's why I want you to understand what it is. It's not just you leading people to Christ. Some people are better than that than others. Some churches are much bigger than ours. We're not that good at certain things. I wish we were, but, you know, can't do everything. Do you ever wonder why people come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go? Maybe it's right here. They can't handle it. The message they view as mean is trying to collect them and move them towards Jesus, and they don't want to be. They just kind of say no. For some people, life has better options than being joined to Jesus. That's the grip of this culture. And I get it. We fight it every day. I see it in my own family. And there isn't much I can do about it. We pray. We love, we forgive, but there is a grip that had me for 22 years, by the way. Life on a human level was really fun back then. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? I'm stopping there because I'm not getting in trouble today. I just got back. I don't want to be in trouble. So that's branch one. Branch two, Jesus goes on, while every branch that does bear fruit, followers that are productive is the idea. He, the gardener or vine dresser, the father, prunes them. Thank you very much. I meant to bring Sandy's pruning shears and have them in my back pocket and just really slyly and pull them out. They're violent. I could cut your fingers off with them. They're not nice. That was pretty violent, wasn't it? I wanted to get your attention. There was three people in the back sleeping, so they woke up. He prunes them. Pruning, as we all know, again, you already know this, but it's removing anything that would get in the way of fruit production. That's what farmers do. They prune a lot, especially amongst wine grapes and vines. Or they hinder production. And so Jesus does this for you and for me and for the kingdom. He'll prune us. Maybe some of you are being pruned a little bit today. I'm not saying you look like prunes. I'm just saying that. Now, why does he do this? So that it will be even more fruitful. It will accomplish more for what really matters. It creates more impact in the lives of people when you're pruned. And that's why you always want to have a guy that is willing to teach the truth, even though it's uncomfortable. Producing in life. With the things that matter most. So we have two kinds of branches. A branch with no fruit is cut off, taken away, is viewed as without value. A branch that bears fruit is pruned, cleaned up, is prepared for future fruit. That's what he's saying. Number three, let's keep moving. You ready? The Jesus message changes you. And we've taught this a million different ways, but I believe Jesus brings that to the table here. In other words, what we believe really matters for you. And for those that you love, what we place our faith in, our confidence in, our commitment to makes a big difference. In John 15, 3, he says, you, and who's he talking about? You. He's talking about 11 disciples at this point. He says, you are already clean. And this is a bold, beautiful statement. In other words, he's saying, you guys, your sins are forgiven. You've been changed. And I hope that I'm talking to a room full of people that are just like this, that you are clean. And what I mean clean is not your shower this morning, but I do appreciate it. But that you've been cleaned by the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus. You've been changed. You've been made right before God by someone other than yourself. It's not based on your performance. He says, you are already clean because Jesus is going to tell you why you're clean. There's so much wisdom here. This is the process that everybody must go through. He says, you're clean before God. You've been forgiven past, present, and future. He said, because of the word I have spoken to you, what I have told you, Jesus is saying right in front of his 11 guys. And it's 11 because Judas is gone and dead. They had heard about and embraced the gospel message, which is to me the Jesus message, that Jesus himself had told them and shown them in front of their life. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection and the life. And over and over and over again, he told them, and people and Lot didn't listen to him. Hearing truth is how this takes place, this change. The Jesus message changes us. This is why God's word is so important, why we lift it high. It gives us the Jesus message. How are you going to get it if you don't have the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God? It can produce that Jesus message, the change that we need in order to do what he's talking about here. Also, it's a tool for pruning. It'll do it to you. It offers the ability and capacity for spiritual spring cleaning. And we need that now and again. We need to be corrected. So let me ask you, as we move through this simple message, has your life been changed by Jesus? Now think about that. I'm not saying, have you believed in Jesus? Have you trusted him? Although that's embodied in it. I get it. I don't appreciate these boxes being in the way of me and my water. I'm sure glad you didn't bring any more. Just messing with you. Has your life been changed by Jesus? That's the biggest question you'll ever face in your life. Have you been altered by truth? Has it changed how you think? How you act? What you dream about in the future? I know for a lot of you, well, of course it has. I didn't ask if you've been changed by Andy Stanley. I know he's special. I understand. Has the gospel message, the Jesus message, changed your thinking? It's what he's talking about here, at least in part. The Jesus message will change you if you let it, if you welcome it. If so, you're clean. You're clean. You're headed to heaven. You're forgiven. You're made righteous before God. All of your miscues in life have been wiped out. I know it's too good to be true, but it is. Now you just need to abide, and that's where we're headed. Number four, Jesus bears the fruit. And the fruit proves something. It tells us something. He's already announced that. Jesus bears the fruit, and he gives health, spiritual health, that is. He tells us where the fruit comes, Jesus does. Verse 4, he says remain. The idea of remain is to abide, connect, be joined to. Remain in me. And the me is, of course, Jesus. I'm your conduit. I'm your safe place. I'm the answer for you. We need to join up with him. Not just in faith and belief, but in all of life. You know, when we say I do, and this thing slips on each of our hands, whatever it is, it says something to the world. I'm married. That doesn't mean I couldn't act like a not married guy, but it says something loud and clear. This joining ought to go way beyond the commitment of marriage, way beyond it. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. And the idea here is be joined to me and you get me. And Jesus here is offering relationship. You know, a lot of people look at Jesus in a wrong way. They look at him as a doctrine, as a body of truth, which he is. They look at it as facts that have happened. And when I believe in him and I accept him into my life, that there's a sense in where I'm forgiven. Some of you know the gospel message, but it's so much more than that he's asking. He's asking for friendship here and relationship and connection constantly. One of the things we're going to figure out in 2018 is how to really walk with Jesus. I don't know what it's going to look like. Don't hold me to account until January or February. But we got to figure out what this thing is. Got to. And I need to before I tell you. Or maybe Mark can come up and just teach a 20-week series. Boy, I am troubled. I am troubled. He goes on to say, no branch. Jesus is just going to tell you the truth now. And it's funny how we just skip over it sometimes. No branch, not one, can bear fruit by itself. This is a fact from Jesus. It's a truth you can count on. He said it must remain in the vine. This is the law of nature. A branch that is worthless without the vine, without the sap and the life-giving sources that God built into nature. It can't function. We all kind of get that. He goes on, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That is as direct as it can be. You'll never bear any fruit in your own life or the life of others, ever, 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 without Jesus. Never. Not for a second. Jesus making it very clear that no fruit happens unless we're joined to him. Verse 5, he goes on to explain how this relates to him. I am the vine. You are a branch. He's not saying you're not important, but you're not important like me. Again, making it clear the importance of being joined with him. It's a vital relationship. The vine is the source of nutrients and strength for the branches. It's a source of staying healthy. See, I don't only want you to be a Jesus follower and go to heaven. I want you to live a healthy life. In the midst of the confusion and the difficulty that we all face, our little baby JD back there is in the room right now. And his mom and dad and his grandma and grandpa have to live through a little boy that's probably going to need a number of heart operations to grow up and be functioning adults like us. When you face something like that, or a child that can't see the way other people can see, it alters your thinking. Or your baby girl ends up with cancer, and you have to live through it with her. She's got 3 spots on a lung, and they think they can take care of 2 and take them out, and 1 needs to be radiated, and it's your baby girl. Oh, my. See, these stuff, it's not going to stop. When we're connected to him, we can live through it in a healthy way, not alone. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, remaining is a choice. Remaining, abiding, lets his power and resources flow through us. And I in you, Jesus will never leave us. You abide in me, you got all of me. He's more than a coach, folks. You, the person that's connected, will bear much fruit. This is a promise. You're going to have fruit if you're connected to him, abiding, joined. A promise. Again, fruit are things like changed lives, people impacted, character developed, habits changed, love advanced by your life, people brought to faith. All that stuff is fruit. It's not just one thing. He goes on to say, really defined, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Now, you can still manage your budget. You can still stay in shape if you choose to live a life that way. But you'll never bear fruit. Apart from me, you can't do a bit of that. You won't have the motivation. You won't have the capacity. You won't have the influence. You're on your own. Jesus is always the answer. The sooner we realize that, the better our life gets, the more content we end up. And that's what you really want, no matter what you got. The more peace you'll have, the more joy you'll have. Jesus really is more important than anything. And we say that every way we can in this place over and over again. Now, most fruit that you've eaten in your life, really probably pretty much all of it, most every glass of wine that you've ever drank, or grape juice if you're a non-wine drinker, has been grafted into a stalk. This is just the truth. And that's the idea of where a certain variety of fruit or grapes is grafted into a stalk, gaining life and vitality from the stalk or the vine. That's the way it works. Now, I have a good friend, many of you know, a farmer up in Orosi, California, the Central Valley. He's got 800 acres of oranges and lemons and all kinds of stuff. Kevin Riddle. And that does this at every planting. I've witnessed it a number of times where they'll put a stalk that is very strong and can last 4 or 5 decades, and they'll graft in what piece of fruit they want in that stalk. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's odd. But I've watched it happen. He pulls out his knife. He thinks he's cool. And it's this big, long, cool knife that he's had for really 40 years. And one of the things when he's up there and it's fruit time, Ben knows because he goes with me in January or February, he'll take that knife out and he'll pick an orange off the tree, then he'll cut it. If I did it, I'd be bloody. But he does this so fast and he gives each of us a piece of this orange and it's like sugar. And I don't mean that negative sugar. I mean, it just lights up in your... I'm taking you all up there. All of us are just going to get buses and go, I want you to experience this one thing. Okay. I've witnessed him do this many times. And I'm going to show you a video that explains this process because I want you to get this today. I want you to want to be connected to Jesus on a more intense level. It's a dream I have for you. Hopefully you'll get the meaning. Go ahead, Joe.
So approximately 2 weeks ago, these vines were cut off. They literally cut off the tops of the vines and disposed of the cordons and the wood and the trimmings and everything. And they basically let the vine just kind of sit there for a little bit. And as the time frame goes on, the bark starts to slip at the cambium. The cambium layer becomes very, is where we want to put the graft. And it's basically just putting a bud on top of the cambium layer, so the cambium and the new bud have to adhere to each other and callus, and that's where it'll start. We know this vine is still obviously alive, even though there's no fruit, no big canopy on it, but that gives a chance for this to heal, to callus, and to start growing. So these were probably just grafted within the last week, and therefore we don't see any green growth yet coming out of that little window between the tape. And generally a budder will put 2 buds on, kind of an insurance policy. In case one doesn't make it, there's always a second chance for the second one to come through. It is a skill. It's not just anybody can go out there with a sharp knife and just put a bud under there and call it good. So a skilled operator with a good sharp knife, I mean, it has to be a sharp knife, has to make sure that bud is exactly flat on the backside so that the cambium is matching the cambium. And that's the key to successful grafting. And the flaps actually help hold the bud tight as well to the cambium layer of the on the trunk there. And then you can see when he wraps that he's wrapping very tightly, try to minimize all the air that's going to be in there to help keep it from drying out. But he's doing a chip bud on this one right here versus a T or an inverted T, and he has a reason for that. He probably feels it's a better chance for a take in there, and that's what he did, is removed a little piece of wood, and he's doing a typical chip like you would on a rootstock. But again, just long as cambium is matching cambium, that's the key. So they've already relieved the hydraulic pressure right here. The trunks have already been slashed to help keep the sap flow coming up a while and let that have a time to heal. Otherwise, that sap flow would be too much on this open wound now and push that bud out, theoretically. So they come in and pre-cut these And that's what this bleeding is down in here. It's not going to hurt the vine. It's just a very shallow cut with a saw. Here's one that's already starting to push a little bit. Again, I put a little nick in here in the trunk to relieve some of the hydraulic pressure, and this one is actually starting to grow. And I think with all the warm weather, this is probably an indicator that this is going to take off pretty quick. And at some point, then the crew will come through and start taking off the sucker so the energy and the effort can go into that new bud. The year of grafting is really the loss of 100% crop plus the conversion, and then after that it's going forward with your new variety or new clone.
Fascinating, isn't it? Every piece of fruit you've ever had, chances are, is from a tree that has been grafted. Oranges, lemons, all of them. It's fascinating, that world. Now, if the commander was up here, this would be much more technical, but sorry. Now, Romans 11, because Romans 12 was Kenny's chapter last week. There's a story that's unraveled about Paul and the children of Israel, that Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And I just want to pick up a little portion, but there's a story where a remnant of the children of Israel will be grafted in, just what you saw. Look at it there in Romans 11:17 on the screen. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, and certainly they have by their own actions, through a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. This is what God's going to do to some of the children of Israel that are willing to listen to who Jesus is, because they've so ignored the message. Verse 18, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And it's this whole idea. This is what Jesus wants. He wants you parked in him, just like you saw those little buds placed. He's the vine and you're the branches. You may be a little tiny baby one. On the other hand, verse 6 continues, if you do not remain in me, this is a choice anybody can make. If you go your own way, if you make your own rules up, if you do your own thing, seems like a lot of young people are tempted this way, like we were when we were young. It's not just for young people either, by the way. But you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. You have no vitality. You're on your own. No nutrients, no health from Jesus. No capacity to carry on when it's all on you. It's all up to me. As we get older, we learn we can't fix very much. At all. Here's what happens to those branches. Such branches are picked up, collected, and thrown into the fire and burned. They're rubbish. They have no value to the kingdom. And this is a little brutal, but it's true. They have no connection to future fruit. Staying connected produces fruit. Being disconnected removes the capacity for fruit. It's that simple. Fruit matters. Number 5, fruit happens. Oh, it's getting late. I wish I had all day. Can I just stay here till noon? Fruit happens when joined to Jesus. Jesus challenges us here to choose well, to make good decisions. He says in verse 7, if you remain in me, the idea is of permanent union to him by your choice. That you honestly love me. You honestly want me. He said, and my words remain in you. You continue listening to me. My words have a home inside of you. You allow me to be your shepherd. Ask whatever you wish. Approach me and I'll hear you. And it will be done for you. Only those who abide and follow are heard and then answered. Verse 8, abiding allows us to live lives that honor God. Look at it. This is to my Father's glory. This whole process of us being connected, grafted into him by our own choice. That you bear much fruit. Not little fruit, but a lot of fruit. That your life really is changed. That you impact others, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All this proves who we follow. Jesus hears us and answers. God himself ends up honored. And we're built to bear much fruit. Fruit really matters. You got to have it. It's not okay if you don't have any. Number 6 and last, staying joined brings lasting joy. You make this choice that Jesus is talking about of believing the Jesus message, embracing it, following him, and then abiding in him by your choice. You end up with joy. Jesus now tells us how much he loves us. Look at it. As the Father has loved me. And the question, just simple. How much does a father love his son or daughter? Chase, how much do you love your son? Completely. We all get it. Now, I'm not sure his father-in-law sitting four seats away from him. I'll stop there. Since my father-in-law is in the second row. But it's something about being dad. There's something in blood, and we all get it. We all get it. Oh, my. As the Father has loved me, I love you. I love you. This is Jesus talking to me and you that have chosen him, that have believed the Jesus message. Jesus tells us that he loves us like the Father loves him. It's a beautiful message. Now, he says, now, listen, guys, remain in my love. Stay there. Stick with me. Connect with me. Be joined to my love. He's really asking for a love relationship with you right here. He says, will you remain and abide in my love and live in it all day, every day? My love is what makes you safe, not you. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, do what I say, I'm the shepherd, you'll remain in my love. His words are the telltale sign of whether you're a follower or not. Do you like him? Do you follow him? Are you willing, when confronted by truth, to maneuver your life that way? Verse 11, I have told you this, why, so that my joy may be in you. You want the joy of Jesus? It's found right here. You listening to him, you burying yourself in his love and saying, this is what matters to me. It may not matter to you, world. And that your joy may be complete, total lasting joy in our life that's real. Bottom line is, true lasting joy is available here and now. And it comes from being connected to Jesus, being joined to him. When we follow him, we experience this love. He satisfies the deepest needs of our heart, even when there's pain there. Thus, we're filled with joy. Ann Lander says this, or had this to say, about the letters that she had received over the years. She says, I've learned plenty, including most meaningfully what Leo Rostin had in mind when he said, each of us is a little lonely, deep inside, and cries to be understood. Ann Landers goes on to say, I have learned how it is with stumbling, tortured people in this world who have nobody to talk to. The fact the column has been a success all these years underscores, for me at least, the central tragedy of our society, the disconnectedness, the insecurity, the fear that bedevils, cripples, and paralyzes so many of us. I have learned that financial success, academic achievement, and social or political status open no doors to peace of mind or inner security. None. We are all wanderers like sheep on this planet. And the message to me, this is simple. We need Jesus. We go together. Alone is not the way you want to live, folks. You don't have to. So what does he teach us? Number one, Jesus asks us to evaluate things, certainly in this text. Take a look at yourself. Take stock of who you are. What are you connected to? Ask yourself these questions. Not right now. Well, you can right now if you want. It's your brain. It's your thoughts. Where am I at with Jesus in mind? What, me? Where am I at with the Jesus message in mind? Is he important to me? Do I listen to him? Do I want him? Do I love him? Do I? Should I? Will I? Why wouldn't I? Number two, Jesus can change you. The 11 disciples, Jesus says clearly, were clean. Clean. Connected. Safe forever. You want to be that. And that is about finding Jesus and following him. Abiding is about falling in love with him. There's a process. You can't have it all in one day. We all get that. The Jesus message is what does this, not your performance, not your family heritage. Remember, Jesus is the bread of life, the living water, the resurrection, and the life. Mother Teresa wrote this: we have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being unwanted. That's what my sisters hope to provide. The sick and poor suffer even more from rejection than material want. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible of poverty. Let Jesus in. You can be wealthy and experience that. Let Jesus change you. Which leads us to number three. Jesus produces fruit and uses us. This is silly in part. It's not about us. It's about him. To get that in your mind, it's to be pragmatic about that, because it's hard to divide ourselves. It's, where is the connection really? Well, I got to live my day. It's not about you. It's about him. Jesus is the power, the fuel, the necessity to bear fruit and have impact. And that's what we all want if we're tracking with him. And to think, just to think that Jesus wants me and wants you, that's kind of silly. But it's not so silly. Jesus wants me and you. And he wants to use us. And I ask the question sometimes, do you really know who I am, Jesus? And of course he does. He still wants me. Questions to think through this week on your time. Have I been changed by Jesus? Do I have spiritual fruit in my life? These are big questions for you. Is joy consistent, real in my life? If the answer is negative on these, maybe you need to find him and start following him. Maybe you need to start abiding in him, because he says he's the answer to those questions. Oh my. Oh my. I'm kind of afraid to end, like it may never happen again. It's really weird to go away. It's like, are they going to accept me back? What if nobody came today? What if Kenny was really that good? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can talk of you and think of you and try to understand you and this idea of connection. We want it. We want to abide in you. We want to be grafted into you. We want to be growing because of your resources in our life. Help us to understand just a little bit more of what it is to abide in you. And let us each chase that down, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Have a great day.
We go together like begging in supper time, driving down the county line, ears flapping overtime.